John Stewart says Democratic leadership and DNC are lost.
Past couple,
I'm gonna get triggered.
Months though, there has been more reach out from, I would say, more kind of like establishment folks. However, and this is,
I just want to say for a second, just how fucked. Because I know liberals just can't. Because you're too weak. You are. I'm sorry. The commies are right. You guys are too weak. That every single time we were like, listen, vote blue no matter who. You guys have to support the candidate. Even if it's not your ideal socialist fucking candidate, you got to support him. Vote blue no matter who. And they're like, oh, well, you guys wouldn't vote blue no matter who for us. Like, we would. Listen, if Mamdani was running for president, if AOC was running for president, I would vote for them 100% without a second thought. And now they're like, their test for vote blue no matter who is like, well, now we got a Nazi. We got a guy with the Nazi tattoos. You better vote blue. It's like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
And they are
going
to go. That's the funny part, is they are going to go vote blue.
Jesus Christ.
We don't give a fuck, man.
Totally. So, like, so that's been going on since the beginning. I've been big supporters, really, the whole time.
They felt a fellow progressive who they thought, okay, I understand where this fella's coming from.
Totally. So, like, so that's been going on since the beginning. Past couple months, though, there has been more reach out from, I would say, more kind of like establishment folks.
Do you actually think Plattner is a Nazi or just retarded? I don't think he's a Nazi, but I would have to go back and relook at it. He absolutely fucking lied about those tattoos.
One, he had a Totenkopf.
Trillion percent he lied about those tattoos. Which
he was a retard and he got a tattoo,
Well, and kept it for like, and kept it for like, and kept it 16 years or whatever, right? Like,
Yeah,
so he 100% lied about that. I would have to do significantly more reading into him to think that I would not actually support him as a senator or whatever, just because any blue senator is probably better than a red one. But I if this was a center left candidate, holy fuck, dude.
Oh, it'd be over, man.
Oh my God, the lefties would be going crazy on this guy. Also,
100%.
I would also say I would be real careful if you're a if you're a Jew dude, things aren't looking very good for you right now in the U.S. Just be careful on that.
Jesus. You might want to go to Israel.
might want to be careful about, yeah. Jesus.
There has been more reach out from, I would say, more kind of like establishment folks. However, and this is the important part, not from the DSCC, not from the DNC, like nobody in the places of power remains interested.
But they're lost, dude. Like, they're...
Dude, it's so bad.
They're lost.
And the thing that bothers me the most isn't, like, I'm not...
What does he mean they're lost? It's a
sloppulism. It doesn't matter. Sloppulism. Okay. It's all... You have to hate the mainstream mid-left. You have to hate it.
Asking for you to, like, be my friend. I'm just... But you should be curious because I'm pulling 40 points ahead.
Right.
At least just reach out and be like, hey, what are you actually? Because they've never spoken ever. I've never gotten a phone call. No one's ever reached out. I've never talked to anybody in leadership. No one's ever been interested in.
We have a norm of candidates who lose the general election, not capitalizing on their clout and trying to take the nomination again. Why the fuck are you okay with Kamala breaking that norm? I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. But I will never, ever, ever hear a progressive dick suck or socialist dick suck who cried over and over again about how we need to have open primaries and it's important to let people vote in the primary and the primaries are where we test everything, to cry that Kamala Harris wants to participate in the primary. That's your letter. If she wants to run in the primary, let her run.
No one's ever reached out. I've never talked to anybody in leadership. No one's ever been interested in ever, which is like kind of baffling.
I think it's because they only know two stories. The two stories are this: you're either a moderate Democrat or you're a left-wing firebrand. And so what they're saying is, oh, sure, the left-wing firebrand, that does well in the primary, but that'll never travel. You know, there is that idea that, well, electability, and there's something crazy about this, as though you are the equivalent of a, you're the Democratic equivalent of a MAGA loyalist who has come out with wildly controversial positions. And then you talk to you for 5 minutes, you go, oh, no, this is based in historical precedent. It has a very literate and literary foundation.
Wait, what is he talking about?
The primary, but that'll never travel. You know, there is that idea that, well, electability, and there's something crazy about this, as though you are the equivalent of a, you're the Democratic equivalent of a MAGA loyalist who has come out with wildly controversial positions. And then you talk to you for 5 minutes, you go, oh, no, this is based in historical precedent. It has a very literate and literary foundation to it. It has a foundation of lived experience.
What? Historical precedence has nothing to do with whether or not a position is, what do you say, radical or whatever? Like, things can have existed one time in history and not be relevant anymore. I don't, this is whatever.
Of a, you're the Democratic equivalent of a MAGA loyalist who has come out with wildly controversial positions. And then you talk to you for 5 minutes, you go, oh no, this is based in historical precedent?
Yeah, like slavery is based in historical precedent, but that would be a wildly controversial position now. I don't know. These are dumb statements, I think.
It has a very literate and literary foundation to it. It has a foundation of lived experience. Like, they should be, again, viewing this as a Rosetta Stone that can help them translate. And here's the trick. And maybe this is what we can kind of talk about, and I'm cognizant of your time, and because of your lived experience, your rural internet connection.
That's the issue, actually.
That is the issue. How do you translate that lived experience? You talked about it a little bit earlier, you know, being on the planning board and understanding that, oh, sometimes the wording and the intention, you know, had unforeseen consequences and those kinds of things. How do we translate those experiences to create that new deal for a more modern America where we do get that value, where we do change the incentives of government, the way that that money is spent? How do we make that transition?
This is honestly the hardest question to answer. And my answer is going to be insufficient. I'll just tell you that right off the bat. The answer to it is that we need to build political power through getting people like me into the U.S. Senate, into Congress. And we also need to do it while building organizational power outside of the system. There has never been a moment in American history where we've gotten good things just because the institutions or people in power decided to do it. They needed to be pressed. I mean, this is why this country has killed the labor movement. We did it on purpose. We did it because the labor movement is a foundation of power that can actually push back against the system. We need to, on our campaign, this is a, above all else, this is an organizing project. Because I firmly believe that while me getting elected to the U.S. Senate, that's a big part of it, but that needs to be in tandem with a fully organized, broad-based coalition here in the state of Maine that can put pressure on, frankly, other members of our delegation if need be. Because it's not going to be enough to just rely on the systems. But the big thing is that it's that building that kind of outside power. That's also how we're going to identify more people like me and then have the resources to get them elected. Because the biggest issue right now is that, I mean, I think that you probably saw there was an article recently about how majority Democrats, which is this kind of like PAC group, has been essentially curating with a lot of money these candidates.
Hey, I've been watching off and on since the SC2 own days. You're in Virginia, and guy. I'm glad to see you play the lawsuit. I hate to see people. Thanks, buddy. I love you too. Dalier for the $15.
Push forward. And it's all built around this idea that we're doing
One thing that's very annoying to me when it comes to people talking politics is sometimes people don't distinguish between what is electable and what are the things that they want. And they always try to pretend that those two things are the same. I guess maybe there's a strategy rhetorically to doing that, but it's wildly dishonest and annoying to me. Like, there are ideas that I have around housing and whatever, rent control, whatever. And I understand that maybe these are not, maybe those are the best examples. There are ideas that I have that I know wouldn't be politically popular. I'm like, I wish we'd do this, but we probably shouldn't. We should do this, but probably not a great idea because people wouldn't like it. And then there are things where it's like, this is what we need to focus on, I think, to win elections, because these are the things that are popular with the base right now. One of the annoying things about a lot of these lefty types is that they always pretend that all of their policy positions are also always maximally the most popular things. And they never, ever, 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 ever draw a distinction between what is their policy position and what is the thing that is electable at this point in time. It's so fucking annoying.
Pro-corporate, pro-business, moderate types.
I would expect that from a politician because you're running for office, obviously. So the positions that you represent, you have, should be the politically popular ones you're trying to get elected in what is essentially a popularity contest. But for online content creators, it's very fucking annoying.
On the 2020 election.
I'd say that that President Biden was certified the winner of the 2020 election.
He won.
Fucking.
This should be jailable.
It's something, yeah. It's just.
Won the election. Is that your response?
Senator, I think my response is he was certified as the winner by counting the election.
So you're unwilling to say he won the election. How about you, Mr. Roberts?
I have this same answer as my colleague, Senator.
Same answer as the previous one?
The previous nominee. The Senate did.
Mr. Coons, how about you?
Thank you, Senator. And I have the same answer as Mr.
Same Hancock. Answer. Unwilling to say that Joe Biden won the election, correct?
As Mr. Hendershot said, it has become a matter of political concern, and Joe Biden.
Well, it's a matter of political concern, but it's also an issue of fact. And is it not?
Joe Biden was, in fact, certified the winner of the 2020 election.
Mr. Mark?
Same answer, Senator.
I am
astounded.
amazed.
In disbelief.
And really appalled that nominees for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench are unwilling.
These are judges?
That's
that
crazy.
Can't say that? That's every single judge that was not willing to, because you're disagreeing with your fellow federal judges as well. Every single judge that is not willing to admit that Biden won the 2020 election has to go. They've got to go. Mm-hmm. Impeachment or whatever the process is, they absolutely have to go.
To respond on an issue of fact, and I'm not going to try to get an answer out of you because clearly you've been rehearsed.
Yep.
To provide a stock answer,
yes.
Which I think really reflects not only on your honesty, but really on your fitness to be a federal judge, because
yep, it does.
You are supposed to be independent and to arrive at the truth based on the evidence before you. And I think it's
that other federal judges have looked at
be irrefutable that Joe Biden won the election, but you're unwilling to use that word because you are afraid.
Yes.
You are afraid of what? President Trump? That is exactly what we do not need on the federal bench today. We need jurists who are fearless and strong, not weak and pathetic.
True.
I can't tell you how disappointed I am. We can disagree on issues of law. We can disagree on issues of fact, but for you to simply avoid a factual and responsive answer, I think is that.
Well, I don't know why he said issues of fact there, but okay.
Disrespect to this committee as well as to us.
But
should be disqualifying, but
that's crazy.
In the Holocaust, they go, well, I was only in my one camp. I can't tell you what was going on at Bergen-Belsen.
But yeah. There's people that are like equally sure that it was 6 million. And then there's people that are equally sure that yeah. It was like 300,000.
Equally, both sides.
Or 600,000.
Right. Now, I just want to say it depends on who's in the room with you. Because of that Abu girl or whatever, listen, maybe it was only 600,000. Maybe it was only 6,000. I don't know. I'm just saying, stop!
Whatever the fuck they think it was. And it's like this weird argument back and forth.
I mean, you have to see how many Jews were in Europe before
Period.
And after.
Right.
And there should be more. It's funny when you see, like, if you have a stat like that, like separated from this, like in as in Peru, we were hiking to Machu Picchu. Me and O'Neill.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Let's talk about Machu Picchu
after our Holocaust revisionism. Oh, God.
And it's also, it's like, there's a weird time now where people are enjoying questioning the numbers of people that died in the Holocaust.
It's an internet.
Yeah.
Retarded. It's just kind of like.
But just fun. Like, but there is some weirdness to it. And one of
my questions,
also, it's like, there's a weird time now where people are enjoying questioning the numbers of people that died in the Holocaust.
It's just now. That's just now happening.
It's an internet.
Yeah.
Retarded. It's just kind of like.
But just fun. Like. But there is some weirdness to it. And
okay.
One of the weirdness to it is, like, there's some photos of, like, Auschwitz and a lot of these other camps that they took after the camps were liberated. And they had people go there and they took photos of them, like, pretending that these people were at the camps. And they weren't. They were done after the fact.
Yeah.
This shit is fucking scary, no? That's why I said if you're Jewish, be careful. Shit's getting cray out there. Cray.
But also, there's also tons like, of videos of
it was only 1 million. What
right.
so that's okay somehow? You want to justify it in your head?
Yeah.
Maybe it was only 1 million.
Yeah, that's where
like,
it's weird.
I don't know. If it was 600 people, I'd be like, ugh.
Right. Well, it's clearly there was a lot of people. It was I don't know what the number is, but if it was.
Oh my God.
We're doing Holocaust revisionism on Joe Rogan. Hell yeah. Epic and based pilled. My goodness.
6 million, or if it was 1 million or 3 million, it's like to catch people like, no, you guys said it was six. Like,
they're also,
the thing
it's
is
the,
like,
it's the 30s and 40s. So it's like,
right.
I don't know how to, and we're guessing. We don't have the, wherewithal. And you
True.
Ask somebody.
How could you even know how many people?
Could have been 10.
Who knows? That's still bad, though, right?
I wasn't there. I don't know.
Chill.
Would you deny there are...
Oh, God, this guy.
...people out there that are fearful that Trump is fascist?
Well, I mean, I believe Donald Trump is a fascist. I have no problems with saying that.
There you go.
I think that Donald Trump...
Rest my case.
You can rest your case all you want, but Donald Trump governs as a fascist, and I think it's not wrong to say that when Trump abuses the power of the federal government to go after
people he doesn't like. That makes you a murderer.
Moments before we started this...
What is fascism?
Fascism to me in this instance would be abusing the federal government to go after your political opponents.
That's fascism, abusing the federal government?
Yeah, I think you might be equating fascism with Nazism. Okay, give me your definition of fascism then.
Fascism was invented by Giovanni Gentile in Italy, describing where the head is conjoined with the body.
Okay.
State. It also derives from actualism, this psychological... It is difficult to define, but that's one reason why it shouldn't be thrown around so loosely. Well, it means something very specific. You're right. Can I just finish?
Go ahead.
You're right that there is a big difference between Nazism and fascism. The Nazis took fascism and turned it into something very different. So when we're talking about fascism today, many people that throw it around, what they're actually describing, what they think they're describing, is actually Nazism. But I don't think you know what fascism is, yet you claim that Trump is a fascist.
Well, just as a heads up, all these political terms are like, what is it? Is the name like... terms of art, I they don't have hard and fast rules for any of them. Like if I ask you what a Republican is or what a Democrat is 100 years from now, what is that going to mean? Or if I ask you, like, you know, what counts as liberalism versus socialism, there's going to be a lot of fuzziness at the edges. And then fascism...
they like move with the time, right?
Kind of, yeah. But also like fascism was like fucking 10 years of existence and there were like fucking a few countries, a handful that were even considered fascism. It's just like... the fighting over like some exacto hardcore definition is a little retarded, I think.
I don't think that's right, and I think you're maybe a little bit.
So what is fascism?
So to me, it would be one.
He's doing the Andrew Wilson school of debate here.
Political party trying to create a one party state and then abusing its power to do so. And I'm sure you could poke holes in that all that you want, but I think that's a mm-hmm. common definition of fascism that people accept. And if you look at a fascist dictator would
that's
do,
part of the problem.
Be somewhat similar to what Donald Trump
tell them
does.
That's part of the problem.
If the modern day Republican Party doesn't want to be called fascist, they can stop doing fascist things like going after their political opponents. Look, they're abusing the power of the FCC right now to try to get Jimmy Kimmel taken off the air because of a joke he made a couple days ago that Donald Trump doesn't like. They indicted James
that's
Comey again earlier today.
That's not fascist, bro.
It is. That's an abuse of power, and that's how I see
you
it.
You call it an abuse of power, but that's not fascism.
I mean, you could feel however you want about it, Warren, but that's how I view it.
One thing that Matt Gaetz also used that 86 many times, and nothing happened to him.
Well, I think we look at everything. I'll be honest with you. Absolutely everything is in context. I don't think anybody is immune to it. I don't think we should be sitting here and nobody has condemned Jimmy Kimmel for his comments. Well, those were despicable.
Joy pointed out earlier, and the president also posted... death to Democrats. Do you think the president should be held responsible for that?
All due respect.
With all due respect, that's how you know you're about to hear the most retarded shit in the world. Here we go.
That post.
Unbeatable! Unbeatable!
Never defeated.
I'll tell you what I did.
It does exist.
Okay. What I can tell you is this, and who was the attorney general and the DOJ at that point?
Probably Pam Bondi. No.
Here's how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. Here's directly how I feel about this. Nobody should be inciting violence, period. That's my
including the president.
But you have to remember something. The Department of Justice brings real cases. We are not Jack Smith. We are not Letitia James. We bring real cases against people.
No, I know. I had the pleasure of serving as a former federal prosecutor at the Department of Justice. But let me ask you this.
Wait, would you say that? I had the pleasure of serving as a former federal prosecutor? Wouldn't you be a former federal prosecutor and you served? You are a former federal prosecutor and you served as a federal prosecutor.
I do believe that this is a vindictive prosecution against Comey, directed by the president. And so far, with little success, because he's done this many times. As Trump's personal attorney, you actually were sanctioned nearly $1 million for filing.
Also, I'm so sorry, but like, I hate that it's the women that are all doing it too, because it plays into weird sexist tropes or whatever, but like, Jesus Christ, guys. My God.
I know.
A frivolous civil lawsuit against Comey, against Hillary Clinton and others that a federal judge called political grievances masquerading as legal claims. So why should anyone believe this pattern of targeting Trump's enemies is about justice and not revenge?
If you think that the Russian collusion hoax...
Nice pivot.
If you think that the things that we've now seen evidence of in this Department of Justice aren't real, I'd just tell you to sit tight because things are coming. because what they did was weaponized. I don't want to hear about weaponization because the reason you all know who I am is because of weaponization. Mm. I sat through targeting people saying we're going to get Trump. And then a Hillary Clinton-appointed judge sanctioned me for suing Hillary Clinton. By the way, I'm proud of that.
Well,
I'm proud of what I did.
Well, actually, let me get Alyssa in here. Let me get Alyssa.
To correct something, okay. Though, Whoopi. It was actually Bill Clinton that appointed that judge, but also a three-judge panel consisting of a Bush appointee, a Trump appointee, and a Biden appointee actually agreed with that court's decision in the 36-page opinion.
Which one was it again?
Basically, I do want to move on because...
Do your thing.
But the Democrats, some of them also love the very same things. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They don't care about your interests. And that's precisely the reason why letting your voice be heard in the primary system is almost as important, if not more important, because the Democratic Party's primary is what determines the trajectory of the Democratic Party. If you're angry because there's people like Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, people like John Fetterman.
Don't say the F word.
Not a lot of Fetterman fans in here. Oh, he's no fan of mine.
By the way, Fetterman was one that these guys all supported. But also, it's funny how they're naming these Democrats who were like some of the most hated by the party Dems, like acting like Sinema and Manchin were loved by the Democratic establishment or by the Democratic Party as a whole. Really? Suddenly, Tweedledee and Tweedledummer just can't stop making big bucks off shrewd investments in companies, making big bucks off connections to the government. They are experts in every industry now. This is about Trump's sons take stake in Kazakh miner that won $1.6 billion U.S. contract. Eric Trump. I would be very careful, Ron. I had no involvement in this transaction and have always been a passive investor with no management role in this vehicle. Any suggestion to the contrary would be both inaccurate and defamatory. Nice. Just the president's children casually threatening litigation.
Sue.
Or actually, well, she might actually run again. It's just that she's not going to win. That's it. I love when you react to your own videos. What's the best content? I did not see this coming because you didn't know. So this is a guy. I found this to be really, really funny. So this guy, Graham Planter, this is the newest progressive candidate. This is like a cosplayer, right? They're trying to pick out, you know, a white, you know, like an average white guy that looks masculine that they can put out there and see like, look, guys, we're not just a party of BPD women. We actually have men that are Democrats as well. And so with the Nazi tattoo, I peeped some Twitter liberals in my timeline. Hinter say something that they outright won't vote for Planter over Collins. To which I remind you all, vote blue no matter who cuts both ways. If leftists should vote for moderate nominees, moderates should vote for leftist ones. Bruh, why would black or Jewish people support a guy with the Nazi tattoo? That seems counterintuitive. So this guy, just so you guys can understand this, this guy literally has a Nazi tattoo. He literally, like, I mean, this is not a good thing to have, by the way. Not a good thing to have, because he said he didn't know it was a Nazi tattoo, and then he got it removed after being told. Tattoo scandal aside, there's no corroborating evidence that he's a Nazi. He's going to be the Democratic nominee. Any Democratic nominee is better than Suzanne Collins. The seat is necessary for Democrats to take the majority. If Democrats don't retake the majority, Trump will get more Supreme Court nominees, and it may be game over for Democrats for a generation. Gentlemen, that's a great sell, isn't it? Wow. And so anyway, actual Nazi tattoo. And this is the guy, right? So he has no problem calling Greg Bovino an actual Nazi, but then he's defending a person who has a legitimate Nazi tattoo. How can you be this stupid?
Wow.
They're not stupid. See, you think that they're stupid because you're assuming that you are putting your value system on them. And then you're saying like, well, why are they being accountable to their own value system? It's because they don't hate Nazis. They want to be Nazis. They don't hate authority. They want to be the authority. They don't hate the police. They want to be the police. They don't hate fascism. They want to be the fascists. They don't hate racism. They want to be the racists. They don't hate police brutality. They want to use the police to brutalize the people that they don't like. That's what it is. That's what it's about. It's a power play. And as soon as people realize this, everything else makes perfect sense. There are no standards. There are no boundaries. There are no rules. It is simply a power accumulation goal. And if something works in that goal and it will help accumulate power, then that's exactly what they will do. The left claim to hate racism, yet they're responsible for all the Asian hate in the U.S. And also, I'd say the majority of the Jewish hate, too. I think, that, yeah, there's right-wing people that are like that, too. But I think that it really originated from progressives. And I think that it originated from progressives in the same way that the hate for white people did. And also Asian people. They see Jewish Americans that have great socioeconomic factors, obviously, like they're doing very well as a socioeconomic group. And they say, well, they can't. That has to be because of some sort of bad acting. That's the reason why. And that's why Democrats can.
Oh, we got some Reddit drama slop. Hold on. This legitimately makes me skin crawl. How do you split rent with your girlfriend? Okay. Although I've dated, I haven't lived with a woman since my divorce. Recently, my girlfriend and I have been talking about her moving in when her lease is up in a couple of months. Right now, she's paying almost $3,000 a month for rent, utilities, and insurance. I suggested she pays me $1,000 a month, and she got offended, accusing me of trying to make money off of her. The thing is that $1,000 doesn't even cover my property tax, much less anything else. She's offering to split utilities, which comes out to about $500 a month. For context, she's currently living in a two-bedroom apartment and about an hour from her work. My house has five bedrooms in one of the best neighborhoods in the city and about 50 minutes from her work. I can easily afford her to live here rent-free, but that doesn't seem right to me. Ooh.
I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't think I would charge someone rent.
There's a right answer to this, and there's a... Do I ever want to be in a relationship?
It's a rent question, and I wasn't paying attention. Hold on. If they're going to be moving in together in a serious relationship, I would expect that they are going to be splitting expenses. And I think this is a blessing in disguise that this is rearing its head now before things get more serious so that he can understand the type of woman that he's working with right now. So
I think he's being a bit of a curmudgeon here, and this is just not worth the juice is not worth the squeeze here. I don't know why we're fighting over the fucking $1,000. He can obviously afford it. It's his girlfriend. I don't know. If they're going to be serious and they're going to live together forever, they're probably going to combine their finances. I think this is retarded.
Damn.
Wait, we have very different takes.
Steve, let's see the right take.
True. I like how you phrase that. It is the right take when I give it.
Yeah, right as in conservative, because you're Republican.
So I think the boring answer is, I think it super depends on the living situation of like the living and income situation. It depends on the income situation of both these people. If they're making similar-ish money, I think this is a really hard sell for the boyfriend. If he makes more than her, then there's just no way. It's just going to be fucked. That'll never be, like, all of her friends are going to hate him. There's always going to be resentment. But could you imagine if you busted your ass, you got a house, and now you're kind of like, you know, maybe you make $40,000 a year or whatever. You don't have, like, the best job, but, you know, you make a little bit of money. And then you get a girlfriend who is, like, making, let's say she makes way more. She makes, like, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year or some shit. And then she comes to live with you, and she gets
that
to live with you for free.
Yeah.
I would feel like...
I was being misogynistic and assuming the man makes more. I'll be honest. Sure. I baked that in.
Yeah. That would be... I think that... I feel like that would significantly change how a lot of people would view the...
I agree with that. Yeah. If he makes more, he shouldn't charge her rent, but I could understand splitting like food costs / utilities. I think that is easy. But if she makes more, charge her ass.
Property tax are utilities, essentially.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh.
I mean, what do you mean? It's a fixed cost. You have to pay every year. Well, why is it different?
Yeah, she is getting more money. He's making money on the land of fucking appreciating under him. He'll be okay.
Oh, really? Objection. Facts not cited in evidence. How do you know the house is not going down in value, Mr. Miller?
Because an hour away, everything's $3,000.
So you think that... Look at Idub's place in Seattle. He lost like $300,000 on that. And he put $100,000
in. Idub's is retarded.
No, his house went down in value.
Well, he could have waited.
But his house was going down in value. You were just saying it could go up.
Sure, houses will always go up. Just gotta wait.
Really? Always go up, Mooten?
Yes. Well, with inflation, Dan, as you were saying, remember?
Houses do not always go up in value.
When the new guy gets there, Dan, housing prices are going to skyrocket because they're going to bring down the interest rates. Actually.
Listen, ooh, if you bought a house in Flint, let's say a few moons ago, I think you would not be saying the prices of houses is going to always be going up. You'd be saying, I wish I did not buy this house in Flint.
Okay, now, Dan might get this, but maybe not. What do you think is the actual answer for how you solve this? What is the actual answer, assuming you're in control of all the circumstances from the start?
What's the money situation for both of them?
Let's say they make the same amount of money.
What's the cost to operate the house currently? We know her cost is
ordinary, ordinary fucking
expenses.
Assume every expense is ordinary.
I don't know.
If you're posting on Reddit,
you know what?
It's over.
Yeah.
It's GG.
Also, hold on. No.
I'm
it doesn't
sorry.
Matter, Dan. We're not mind melded. We're not mind melded. The actual
this
answer.
Is, this relationship's
well, I thought you were going to have a more.
It doesn't matter. No.
Thing.
But the details actually don't matter at all. That's why I'm saying we're not mind melded.
I already said the details didn't matter. If you're trying to go with some fucking clout demon like this, and you even suggest like, hey, you know, this place costs $4,000 a month. You want to do it $1,000? And she loses her shit. Be like, all right, fuck off, bitch.
The actual answer. Is you never would ever tell a partner that you have your house paid off. Just don't say anything about it. They're not gonna. And then you're like, oh, yeah. What does your house cost? Oh, I don't know. $3,000, $4,000 a month is probably or whatever. And then you collect half and then boom, they don't even know.
Yeah, that's smart. I think that is the issue is she knows it's paid off.
Exactly.
So she feels entitled.
She knows it's paid off. Yep. She's like, woo, you're saying a free place to stay? A free place? Triple ass? Big mistake.
My bedroom near my work?
Where does it say that the house is paid off?
What do you mean? That's the whole point. I'm assuming the house is paid off. No?
Oh, objection. Facts not in evidence again.
I would assume it's paid off because he doesn't bring up how much rent he's paying and instead talks about property taxes.
Wait, if the house isn't paid off, then what the fuck is the point of any of this? And of course he's going to be able to charge her half or whatever.
Yeah, easily.
What? No. The what? Just because he doesn't say I have a mortgage payment, this means it? I would say very few people have their house paid off.
The thing is that $1,000 doesn't even cover my property tax, much less anything else.
You, anything else? Meaning what? Mortgage payment? Electricity? Water? Upkeep?
I think this house is paid off.
It's absolutely paid off, of course. 100 million.
You guys are desperate. You're clinging for air.
He's already thinking like
I'm messaging this guy right now on Reddit.
Dan's about to give this guy some landlord advice. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna go and find a new girlfriend who's willing to pay you more rent.
True. And do the bidding process. Why not?
What I would say is regardless of him even owning the house or not owning the house, the cost of owning the house is probably more, I'm guessing, since it's a 5-bedroom, more than the $3,000 a month of the rent that she's at between property taxes and other expenses and upkeep. No?
What did Dan just say? I didn't hear. Sorry.
He fucked me too. You fucked
one
you.
Of my
he
cats.
Fucked me.
Wait, who fucked who?
Dan fucked me because he mumbled like an old man, so I didn't understand what he was saying. Listen,
I'm just saying, I would estimate that right now, both of them, let's say, are spending $3,000 a month each separately.
Okay, sure, we can grant that.
I mean, I think the cost of a upkeep of a 5-bedroom house, what do you think it is, Moot? I mean, I'm guessing it's at least
Are you including mortgage or no?
No, you're fine. No mortgage. He owns it outright in this case.
Okay, just the cost of a 5-bedroom house
for upkeep
a month?
No, a year.
I would say like
a year.
Oh, okay, a month. Say I don't know. It can't be more than $1,000 a month would be my guess.
That would be the property tax would be $1,000.
I don't think this guy is paying $1,000 a month in property tax.
For a 5-bedroom in the best neighborhood in the city?
I mean, then what is he worried about?
Wow. That's all I got to say. It's just wow, guys.
I don't know. How he has this house and if he's paying a mortgage could almost be irrelevant because the house is in his name. So he owns it regardless of the mortgage. So I could even discount that. So either he owns the house somehow, either he bought it when he was younger or he got it gifted to him in a will. Or his parents gave it to him. It doesn't matter. Regardless, it's his house. He owns the house 100%. However, the cost of operating the house, we have property tax, we have lawn care, upkeep of the house.
Lawn care.
Hold on.
That's how you know the landlord's reaching. They got lawn care?
Cleaning fees?
Depending on where it is, there could be snow removal.
God.
Yep, snow removal, you're right. Yeah, what else we got?
I'm sorry, what do you think are some of the biggest expenses are for owning
gotta
a
clean
home?
The rake? Or you gotta rake the yard? Yep. Yeah.
True.
I mean, I actually have houses and I know what the biggest line items are. And
gotta clean the windows.
And landscaping and snow removal are one of the biggest ones.
You do
after
that
property tax. Are you fucking with me right now? You own the house.
Yes, if you own the house, that's usually what you do, or you have your child do it while they're in their slave years.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all crazy.
Can you really say that?
Yeah, how many homes do I own? I mean, zero. That's true.
Well,
you're right. Dan wins again.
I mean, listen. I'm just saying. She balked at $1,000. She balked.
No, she's balking because she feels like the guy is just like making money off her, like a landlord. That's why she's balking.
It's a feeling thing.
It's feeling.
$1,000.
It's about
how it feels
the principle
to give
of
money.
So you think that when he said, hey, how about $1,000 a month?
you know, do you think he just left it there? She's like, oh, damn, why so much? He's like, well, you know, fuck, my property tax is 14K and
no, he told her that he owns his home. And she's like, hell yeah. And he's like, yeah, so I'll let you live here for like 1K a month. She's like, what?
No, it just feels weird to be like paying your boyfriend to rent. Live with him. I don't know. At least for me.
Yeah, that's what she's thinking. I don't know. 100%, that's what she's thinking.
Okay, you guys are...
Well, that's why you guys are getting gold brain, man.
You guys get gold diggers. Both of you. That's
what?
You heard me.
What does that have to do with anything?
Seems like, I'll grant it, but what the hell does that have to do with anything? Like,
true, but excuse me. Some more information?
Who do you think paid more rent on our living situation? My ex-wife, Melina? My ex-wife, Catherine? Or your current wife?
Melina.
I'll go with Melina.
And my ex-wife, so fuck you.
There's no way. Melina definitely paid more than your ex-wife.
No, but I'm saying, I'm pretty sure your current wife doesn't pay rent at all.
Why would she?
Exactly, because she's a...
I don't know where you're...
A gold digger? Isn't that the joke that you guys are just making? Wait, what?
Yeah, but you don't have any money. You're broke.
What? What does that have to do with...
That's the whole point. That's gone. You're broke, my friend. You ain't got shit, all right? We're a gold digger. We ain't a copper digger, okay?
Okay, Dan.
Sorry.
Nope.
You walked into that.
Too late. This is the last question.
She should still pay rent.
I don't know if any relationship would survive that, but you could.
You think it's that crazy to be like, hey, so you're moving in. This bitch costs me fucking like $3,000 a month. You want to do 1K? I'll cover the 2/3 of it moving forward.
Oh, you mean charge rent on just utilities? Well, she'd probably be fine with that.
Well, she offered $500, and the guy was like, that doesn't even cover, like, you see what he says?
She's offering to split utilities. Yeah, she'd be fine with that.
I don't know. It just feels like there's a lot more for that shit, and she's going from three. I'd be like, fucking bitch, stay in your fucking $3K a month shit then. All right, go.
No, this relationship's doomed. It's GG.
True. Exactly. Thank you.
I've already given up on that.